Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:22 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is July 9th. Well, today we saw that the renminbi started to rally, that we had the big announcement of tariffs on Friday morning or Thursday night, depending on your perspective. And now we're seeing some unwinding of the short position in the renminbi. So that has lent some impetus to the stock market. It is really quite oversold. When we look at the A-share index, not only had it been selling off aggressively, but it's come right back to test the lows that we saw back in 2016. So this is an area where at least some people will be thinking that it might be getting back into some sort of bargain territory, at least for a reversionary rally. So there is the potential here that it's going to at least stage a short covering rally and potentially get all the way back up and test that trend mean. The banks index, which has been leading on the downside, was also in positive territory in here today, and it's giving us the first evidence that support is starting to come back in around that 12,000 area, considering just how quickly this index has come back down and so persistently since the peak that we saw back in early February. This is really just the first signs of some respite, particularly with such an accelerated decline that we've seen. So there is potential here for a bounce at least, but it has a lot of work to do to demonstrate that support has been found beyond the short term. And the bounce that we had on the H share index was not quite as convincing, but it has at least bounced. And if we get some upside follow through tomorrow, and I think that the balance of probabilities is skewed towards some upside follow through, then the chances of at least a reversionary rally back up towards that 12,000 area would have to be given the benefit of the doubt. So some of the pressure is starting to come off of the Chinese stock market, and Tencent has bounced, and it's not quite back above the $400 or Hong Kong dollar level yet, but at least it is holding the lows and it is back above the trend mean. So this is an important area for a share that represents significant weighting in not only the technology sector but also in the emerging markets sector generally. And it was a generally positive day on stock markets, not least because the dollar is experiencing some vertigo up at following what has been an impressive rally. But even here, the dollar index continues to hold its progression of higher reaction lows. And when we think about it, that the most important thing it has done has been to rally over the course of the last 2 months to break the medium-term progression of lower rally highs. So I think that it was overbought. It is due some consolidation. It is getting some consolidation, but the likelihood of the dollar's rally turning into a rout, I think, is really quite unlikely. I think that the more likely scenario is that it is due at least a pause, and I think that's probably what we're going to get. Now, when we look at the euro, I think one of the more important points about the eurozone is that I don't believe that the eurozone is quite ready for the removal of stimulus just yet. But nonetheless, the euro is somewhat oversold, and now we're getting a distribution. It would have to sustain a move above 120 to even begin to suggest that we're back in a demand-dominated environment, but there is some scope for some steadying. And the pound was quite weak today in early trading, but was able to recoup some of the decline towards the close. And part of the reason for that is because Theresa May has not yet suffered a vote of no confidence. I think the reality is that the Conservative Party is aware of the fact that their grip on power is tenuous, and that a division within the party that could cause a general election may result in them losing power. So that's an important point here. But I think the much bigger point is that the pound has been ranging against the euro in a volatile manner for more than a year. And when we look at the medium-term chart, there's a progression of higher reaction lows, which suggests that the balance of probabilities is that as long as that progression of higher reaction lows remains intact, and What that would require is upside follow-through tomorrow to confirm a low of at least near-term significance. But if it does in fact hold that progression, the conclusion of the market at least would be that the UK is probably going to remain closer to the EU than I think many people were considering was a possibility when they voted to leave the EU. Every time the pound declines, the stock market pops on the upside. And the FTSE 100 has now firmed from the region of the trend mean. And the most important thing that it has done over the course of the last few years has been to sustain the move above 7,000. When we look at this on a long-term chart, this is an important move that it has broken up and out of this very long-term range. And when we look at markets that have broken up out of very long-term ranges, the Nikkei has also steadied from the region of the trend mean in here today. And the second section index, which generally does tend to lead, had got right down to test the region of the trend mean last week and has steadied as well. So that's I think rather important from the perspective of the long-term trend. The most important thing that the Nikkei has done has been to break and sustain the move above 20,000 for the first time really since the mid-1990s and arguably since the early 1990s. So this is a complete change to the way that this market is behaving, and it's a very significant breakout. And as long as it continues to hold that move above 20,000, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And when we look at Wall Street, the S&P 500 has broken, or sorry, has not quite broken out to new high ground, but it has certainly bounced from the region of the trend mean. It is testing the highs for the range that below 2,800 that's been in evidence since the end of February. So this is a rather important juncture here. And there is a very short-term overbought condition, so we may get some pause around the 2,800 point level. But if it can sustain a move above it, well, that's going to, I think, begin to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment beyond the short term. And that would also hold out the prospect that it is going to follow the Nasdaq 100 and the Russell 2000 onwards to new high ground. The Nasdaq 100 has bounced pretty impressively from that 7,000 level. And that represents the best of all possible outcomes, that it has held at the it has held as an area of support the region that had represented resistance before. So past resistance is becoming future support, and that's really quite bullish. And then when we look at the Russell 2000, then it has also sustained its breakout and is coming pretty close to pushing on to new high ground. When we look at the outlook for the global economy, everyone has been worried about tariffs, and but the reality is that the USA and China are they have a substantial amount of trade, but this is a slow burn phenomenon, and I think that it's quite likely that it is going to continue to represent surprises from time to time. But the much more important background is that the USA is involved in a fiscal stimulus, which is really quite impressive, and that it continues to filter through the economy, that it is encouraging more people to come back into the workforce, and that in fact contributed to the unemployment rate rising, despite the fact that more jobs were created because there are more people looking for work. And that's quite bullish. Then we also have the fact that people are voluntarily leaving their jobs at greater rates. So, well, you don't leave your job unless you're pretty confident that you can find another one. So the economy is doing rather well, but that also suggests that the Federal Reserve will continue to raise interest rates. If the economy were to have a wobble, well, that would increase the potential that the Federal Reserve might pause. And that's likely to represent a tailwind for the dollar over the medium term. But the short term, I think, is that particularly some of the emerging markets, not least with China's renminbi starting to bounce, that we could see some of the pressure coming off of the emerging market currencies. The Indonesian rupiah was a little bit firmer in here today, and this is a rather important area, considering that we're coming back towards the lows that were seen in 2015. The Indian rupee, in fact, went to test the lows that we saw all the way back from 2013 and 15 and 16, and this is a key area where, if it's going to find support, that this would be a convenient place for that to happen. We have not seen a clear upward dynamic, but this is certainly an area where the currency can pause. And the Nifty index was in positive territory today, and it continues to consolidate above the trend mean. Of course, when you're looking at it from the perspective of an international investor, the strength of the currency is an important consideration. So, when we think about it in those terms, then I think it is important to look at some of these emerging markets on a currency-adjusted basis. And the vast majority of Indian funds are still below their respective trend means because of that currency weakness. So, certainly, I think the Indian rupee is one of the more interesting currencies right now, considering that the direction in which it moves from the current level is going to have a pretty large impact on the fortunes of foreign investors invested in the country. If it does in fact continue to stabilize, then there's a good chance that these ETFs and investment trusts are going to outperform. Then, when we look at what's going on in Australia, the ASX 200 has improved upon its performance. It's at a new recovery high. And when we just zoom in on the daily chart, we can see that it has broken up out of the most recent short-term range. So this has been boosted by the relative weakness of the Aussie dollar, but the Aussie dollar is bouncing in here. It is, and it looks like it is going to come back and post a reversionary rally. There's a progression of lower rally highs, and the most recent of those is in the region of 76 cents. So there's certainly scope for I think the Aussie dollar to bounce in here, but it's got some work to do if it's going to break the medium-term downward bias. Most particularly, it would need to sustain a move back above the trend mean to really confirm that we're seeing anything other than some short covering in here. Well, if the dollar's advance is at least pausing, then that is going to be a sucker for, or at least some relief for the gold market. But it wasn't quite able to hold all of its advance in here today. And part of the reason for that is because we're not seeing a really strong rally in the euro or any of those other currencies against the dollar, but rather it looks like the dollar is just pausing. When we look at this on a weekly chart, this is the area where, if gold is going to demonstrate a return to demand dominance, it needs to continue to rally. And silver is also right in the region of the lower side of its range, but it really does need to push on from this level to confirm a failed downside break. If it fails to sustain a move back above 1650, then we would have to, I think at least give some countenance to the possibility that it is going to break on the downside. So this is an important level for the precious metals. And platinum, which had that very impressive rebound late last week, was also not quite able to hold all of its advance in here today, but it was up over $5. And it does have a rather wide overextension relative to the trend mean, and it did bounce from the 800 level, which has been an area of support on two occasions over the course of the last decade. I think that the most likely scenario is that the precious metals are due a reversionary rally, but then the question is whether they're going to be able to do more than that, and that their reversionary rally is likely to coincide with a mean reversion pullback for the US dollar. And When we look at the industrial metals, copper prices had pulled back extremely sharply last week, but they got some relief in here today and are bouncing from that $2.80 level. I think the medium-term chart, though, really does highlight how extreme this pullback has been. And each of those ranges over the course of the last 2 years has been relatively similar sized, and this is a much larger reaction now. So there is potential here for a reversion back towards the mean, but it would need to sustain a move back above $3 to really suggest that this is a failed downside break. And I think from considering just how big the reaction has been, that's a bit of a big ask at the present moment. And then when we look at Brent crude, it was up over a dollar in here today, suggesting that this is just a consolidation in the region of that psychological $80 level. And as long as it is holding the region of the trend mean, I think we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. The fact is that oil prices have been really quite steady, and that this reaction has been somewhat smaller than the one that we saw at the beginning of this year. And as long as it is putting in one range above another, then this is going to remain a reasonably consistent advance. So that is helping to boost the fortunes of the energy sector. And the energy sector had been largely written off as a possible investment opportunity, but the spider ETF is coming back up to test the upper side of this evolving range, and it was in additional positive territory in here today. Royal Dutch Shell is, I think, at also a rather interesting level that it has bounced from that 2600 point level. And when we look at that on a very long term chart, we can see that 2500 has been an area of resistance for years. So this is, I think, a rather bullish environment, and not least because the major oil producers like Exxon and Royal Dutch Shell are not, in fact, major oil producers, but major gas producers. And this is, I think, a very significant global market that represents a growth opportunity, not least because it encounters less opposition from the environmental lobby. And then when we turn our eye to the bond market, well, US 10-year Treasury yields have steadied around the 2.8% level. The big hard fundamental at the back of the market is that there's a lot of additional supply, not only because of new issuance to fund the fiscal stimulus, but also because of the quantity of bonds that need to be refinanced. So this is contributing to firmness in yields. And when you have the more bullish environment with regard to the stock market and the economy doing well, then the likelihood is that the Federal Reserve will continue to raise interest rates. But that is going to put pressure on the kinds of businesses that rely on access to cheap liquidity to fund their operations. And high yield spreads broke out last week. So this is an important development. And European high yield spreads have already been trending higher for the last 6 months. So that's going to start to put pressure on junk bond performance. But even here, we're seeing some mean reversion. And the JNK has bounced and is pushing back up into the overhead range. But again, this is a rolling over pattern, and it really would need to break that progression of lower rally highs to question the downward bias overall. So with stock markets looking somewhat better, and certainly Europe has not been bereft of some additional investor interest in here, it is looking increasingly likely that Wall Street in particular will be the continued leader in terms of stock market performance. The fact that high yield spreads are already rising in Europe suggests that the market is not taking particularly well the news that the ECB is going to be removing its purchases, or is going to stop purchasing bonds in September. But the fact that China is at least bouncing is also helping to take some of the pressure off of risk assets generally. But then you have to also think about the fact that this is a short term in nature, and that we have seen some really quite I think important technical deterioration in China in particular, and in some of the industrial metals, and that that is going to take time to really show some convalescence from, if that is in fact what we're going to see. Certainly we're seeing some respite in the selling pressure in here today. And I think with that, I will wish all the best to all of you.